Here's Pastor Brian as he concludes his study on homosexuality.
This week we've been looking at the subject of homosexuality, and today I'll conclude my thoughts on this subject, and then the following 2 days we'll be having an interview with an individual that has come out of the homosexual lifestyle. I believe his testimony as well as his insight on the subject will be of great encouragement to you. I want to revisit Romans chapter 1 because I believe here is an important issue that is coming up in today's society, outside of the church as well as inside of the church. Science is on a mission right now to prove that homosexuality is within the genetic makeup, or people are born that way. And the homosexual community wants to come to Romans chapter 1 and verse 26 and verse 27 and deny that the Bible here is describing that men are leaving the natural function of a woman when they commit the act of homosexuality. And Paul says this in verse 26 and 27. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of the error which was due. And so here it comes to the word natural, the natural use. So what we need to look at in these two verses is the word natural use. What does that mean? Well, the word natural literally means what things grow into or the essential nature of something. And so what Paul is saying here is he's not talking about the essential desires that an individual is born with. He's talking about the essential nature of someone. And then he uses the word use, which carries the idea of function. So he says the way that God naturally created something to function, that is what he's talking about in verse 26 and verse 27. And he's saying men, when they have a sexual relationship with other men, are violating the natural function of the woman and is violating the natural function of the men. He's not talking about passions and desires, natural or unnatural. He's talking about the way in which God created things. William Hendrickson, who wrote commentary in the book of Romans, says this: sexual orientation is not the point at issue. What matters is what one does with his sexuality. So here, I admit, the Bible does speak about desires, but he calls them unclean desires, vile passions, burning in their lust, shameful, debased mind. So the desires are wrong, their desires are sinful. And so what Paul is talking about, here men and women have some ungodly desires, and then they are taking those ungodly desires, and they're using them, and they're fulfilling them in a way that God has not designed the man to fulfill his sexual needs or the woman to fulfill the sexual needs. Well, individuals are trying to use science, or at least prove it somehow, that individuals are born this way. Well, I've come across some studies that would refute that idea. And actually, at this present time, there's no biological, genetic, or hormonal evidence to substantiate the claim that individuals are born with these types of desires. And actually, John Hopkins School of Medicine, Masters and Johnson, and Albert Einstein College of Medicine have went on public record and stated that homosexuality is a result of environmental factors. Sexual preferences are learned, and they have their origins in the mind. And I've come across a study that tried to analyze this and have come up with the ideas that there's three common factors that relate to this particular sin of homosexuality. And the first one is absentee fathers. Homosexuals describe their fathers as aloof, hostile and rejecting, or performance-oriented men. And 4 out of 5 homosexual males report that their fathers were either physically or psychologically absent from the home. And so they lacked a strong, healthy role model in a father. And that's not true of everyone, but statistics show that it is true in an overwhelming majority of those that are homosexual today. And so, first of all, I need to speak to those Christian fathers. Where are you? Are you out building your own kingdom? You're out building your own world through your job or through your extracurricular activities? Or are you there being the father in the home that you need to be? So here is one of the aspects, is absentee fathers, either physically gone or psychologically absent. So you could be there in the home and not be there as the father. It's not just your presence, but the attention that our children need and long for and are desiring. And so that is one of the factors that can cause homosexuality. The other one that researchers say is a dominant, overprotective mom, especially if she's been in a bad relationship with her husband, and maybe he's left, or there's been abusive situations or a divorce, a bitter divorce that has come up, and she has anger towards men, and she communicates that to her son, her child, that brings confusion into the heart of that little one who wants to please his mom. And then the third one that probably, I think, is probably the most impacting is sexual exploitation. Especially at puberty, there's curiosity, there's hormones that are going off and strong desires, and there's a confusion within the individual. What is happening to them? And at that point, when there's some sort of homosexual experience or abuse or someone being taken advantage of at that time, could bring in great destruction upon that person's mentality and their understanding of the proper sexual roles. And oftentimes what happens is an individual, a young individual, young male, is drawn into this act of homosexuality by a close person of the family or a friend or a neighbor, and then that just brings in sexual confusion, especially when it's already taken place in their mind and within their body. So there are studies that show that absentee fathers, dominant overprotective mothers, and sexual exploitation are those factors which can lead to homosexuality. And so it's not a natural thing that people are born with. It is something that environment has an impact upon them, their social setting within the home. So we can't underestimate those aspects that impact an individual's life. Now, coming back to Romans chapter 1 there, where Paul spoke about the natural use. As I pointed out in an earlier study, the word natural use here is not talking about desire. He's not talking about they've left the natural desires. It says they've left the natural use. And this word use is from the Greek word krasis, which means function. So what Paul is saying here is that man has a sexual function and women have a sexual function. And what they're doing when they commit lesbianism or homosexuality, they're violating the natural sexual function that God created the woman for and God created the man for. And this word function is only used twice within the Bible, and they're found one in verse 26, one in verse 27, referring to the men, referring to the women. And the focus is not on natural desires being violated, but on functions being violated. The point is that God created you with a natural function, a natural way to have the sexual relationship. And Jesus confirmed that when he spoke about the marriage relationship, that God created the male and female within the beginning. That's God's original plan. I want to point out to you that your sexual function is not determined by what you want or what you desire, but what you were created or designed to do. So natural is not determined on what you want sexually, but determined by how you function sexually. And God has designed the man to function sexually with the woman. And when that function is violated, it is unnatural, the Bible says. It is against nature. It is against the essential nature of that individual. I like what John MacArthur says in his commentary in the book of Romans. In relationship to individuals that are trapped in these vile passions and the lust, he says this: when man forsakes the author of nature, he inevitably forsakes the order of nature. And so that's what's happening, because they've rejected God, who's the designer and the creator. They're rejecting his design and the way he desires us to function. And unfortunately, people are coming now back to the scriptures and trying to twist them to their own destruction. And that's the problem, is they're leaving or abandoning the word of God or coming up with some novel interpretation on this subject and then trying to bring that within the church, which brings ultimate destruction. I found an interesting illustration that in Africa, there's an ant which builds its nest deep in subterranean tunnels where the young and the queen live. And it's interesting, even though when workers are far away, when the queen is being molested or is in trouble, they become extremely nervous and uncoordinated. And if she's killed, what happens to them? They become frantic and rush around aimlessly until they die. Amazing. I believe that's the same parallel to the Word of God. Once the Word of God is taken away from the church, or the authority of the Word of God is taken away from the church, that's what begins to happen. People begin to rush around until eventually they run around aimlessly spiritually and end up in spiritual death. So we need to go back to the Word of God and say what is true, what is accurate, and be able to live according to what the Word of God teaches. Now, my final thought on the subject is not that homosexuality is unforgivable or that is the worst of all types or sorts of sins. It's one that God is able to forgive and to cleanse and to give new hearts. And this is what Paul says to the Corinthians in verses 9 through 11. He says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And that's bad news, but praise God, that's not where Paul stops. He says this to them in verse 11, and such were some of you. See, God wants to take us out of those lifestyles. And then it says, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So God could take anyone that's bound to any sin, addicted to any sort of sin or any sort of lust, homosexuality or drunkardness or being a thief. It doesn't matter. God is able to take you out of that lifestyle and make you a brand new person. The scriptures are very clear, which says that he makes us a new creation. All the old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. God wants to implant in us a new nature, a new desire, and a new ability to not be bound and addicted and controlled by our sins. And the Corinthians, which church was obviously known for its ungodly lifestyle, they were able to be pulled out of that lifestyle, to be set apart, sanctified, and washed, and cleaned, justified, made right before God. So the final word here on my part is that if you're trapped in this lifestyle, you don't have to remain trapped. You need to turn to Jesus Christ, and he is able to deliver you by his power and by his might and make you a brand new person, give you a new mind and a new nature. And if you will do so, he will set you apart, and you will be destined for his eternal kingdom. But if you continue to live in that lifestyle and justify it, the Bible says you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Turn to Jesus Christ and receive life and forgiveness and cleansing and freedom. So the scripture says it's the truth that'll set you free.